Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today we have a special guest, not only because it is Craig Bond of Iberia Bank, but also because it is my first guest. So we're very excited today. Thank you for taking the time to join us, Craig. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. So I met Craig through Leadership Miami, which is something we'll talk about a little bit more, but instantly understood that Craig was somebody I liked and I understood and was interested in learning more about, and we thought he could provide some great insights on today's podcast. But first of all, let's get to know Craig a little bit. I know him. All of you probably do not know him. So Craig, just if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, that'd be great.
Sure. I mean, first of all, interesting times that we're in today. I mean, when have we ever thought that we're going to go out with masks on our face or have to stand 6 feet apart from each other? I know you're a big runner. I'm a big runner, but even there's caution in that. So first, I'm Craig Bond with Iberia Bank. I'm in the middle market banking group. What we do is we look at mid-sized companies between 20 million up through around $1 billion, mostly privately held. So with those different needs when it comes down to real estate or commercial or capital financing, equipment financing. So it's a gander of what we do in a full scheme of things. It just really depends on the company itself. But for me, I've been doing this for about 15 years now. Out of school, sort of fell into this, had some great, great mentors along the way to get me where I am today. On the side, not working so much. Again, I share the running passion, like you, Shane. Definitely a lot of cycling, triathlons, duathlons. So I'm just a outdoorsy type of guy who likes people.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think the first thing we talked about was our common interest in, I guess, staying active, getting outdoors. But with you being a banker, and during these times, I know you had a bit of an accident. You can't be as
active.
We don't need to talk too much about that. It still kind of creeps me out, the pictures you sent me. But anyway, these are, I mean, like you said, what you do for a living is work with these, call them small businesses, but not tiny businesses by any means. You were saying some pretty big numbers there. But I thought immediately you being a great guest because you can kind of go behind the scenes about what some of these programs actually mean for some of these small businesses, what types of conflicts, troubles, things that these businesses are going through during this time that maybe not everyone knows about, but because of your relationship with them, you kind of have that firsthand knowledge.
So yeah, interesting times again. A lot of companies are different in the way of what they deliver or the product or service they deliver to the market. So one of the biggest things has been the pure separation between office work, field work, as well as producing or even importing, exporting goods and services around the world. It's been an onset since early March, but a lot of those companies, again, revenues are flat. You know, I hate to say it, you know, some of these guys' best months are in January right now, and we're working in the second quarter. And a lot of them are fearful, unfortunately, but being through this cycle, through the financial crisis back in 2008, 2009, you know, it's good to be able to bring comfort. One of the biggest things also, like, as we all know, we all work for somebody, and it's for that employer who we look to and who we're comfortable with. And so one of the biggest things that I really agree with the government has been the SBA PPP, or Payment Protection Program, where we're, can't say we're underwriting, but we're processing forgivable grants to companies. And these grants are going back to their employees. So we're fueling it in a totally different way other than the stimulus that a lot of us are used to for the $1,200. I think it was $500 per child. But again, the U.S. Treasury is definitely fueling, because the majority of our society, they do work for small businesses, or they're small business owners.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because I know how much, just our little time knowing each other, I know how much you like your clients, you enjoy helping them, and it's much more personal. I think maybe some people have the thought of, and I did for a while, full disclosure, that you're a banker, you give people money, they pay you back, and call it a day. But I think especially during these times, I mean, you're doing things that aren't, I guess, common. I mean, how much has your actual day-to-day activity changed? I mean, is it
completely
different? Are you doing anything the same as you used to?
I've turned from a banker into more of a therapist in a lot of ways. You know, there's a lot of things that I care not to know. It starts with a relationship. And a lot of my clients, especially here at Iberia Bank, these are clients who I've been in the trenches with them. I was their former underwriter at one time. And how they've rebounded or how they are panicking now is able to say, hey, we're going to have a much better day once this goes by. But the day-to-day, wow, it has really, really changed. From not being able to go out and visit your clients or doing like we're doing right here for this podcast through Zoom, it sometimes is a little difficult not to get out there and have a face-to-face conversation. We've made it work. But also the time of day that we actually put in, some of those bankers. As you mentioned, I had an accident a couple of months ago. Day one out of that surgery, I was on the phone at 7 a.m. that morning. So my days generally start 7 a.m. I can go up until 6, love my kids, have to put them down at night, until 9, 10, 11 at night. But understanding that time and understanding that first distribution for the PPPs, I wanted my clients there first. And every single one of my clients who applied, I got them their money within around 4 days once it was introduced. So, yeah, different scope in going out trying to make money for the bank. Now it's going, how can we help you? How can we bill, not bill you out, but give you a little bit of stimulus ourselves?
And that's interesting that you said you wanted your clients, you know, front of the line, and they all got that because we were talking a little bit prior. You know, from our perspective, what we do is we look much broader. We see that it's a stimulus program and that should be good for the economy, but you're right there in it. Has your experience been pretty good? It sounds like if all your clients applied and got the money, it sounds like it went pretty well. You don't quite know what to believe in terms of articles you read, hear people talking, but it sounds like maybe it went pretty well.
I'm happy that facade is coming out. It was, I mean, just understanding how fast this was put together and how fast it was introduced to the market. I've had the opportunity to work for larger banks, and we've read about some of those in the news heads recently, but being with a more regional, smaller bank, yeah, our speed to market was a lot quicker. Were there bumps in the road? Every single day, everything was changing as from the day it was introduced up until the day that sometimes we have submitted. But having that trust from my client to say, hey, we're almost there. This is what I need. This is how I need it. Again, we were able to service them. Sometimes, you know, some of the things we got, it was a little overkill. But again, at the end of this, in the 8 weeks, it's like, okay, if we have to do this again, we're going to be able to more fluid. So it got easier as the time went on. But at the beginning, it was extremely, extremely tough, cumbersome, 2 o'clock phone calls with our bank for an hour to get briefed, reading a lot of news articles. But again, you know, from our client's eyes, we were able to deliver, and that's the most important.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there that all of this did come about so quickly that I feel like it hit the headlines that the program was coming, and then a week later, the actual details came. So obviously very crazy times for all of us, but I know me even trying to follow a lot of that, it seemed like it's like, all right, I feel like yesterday they said this and today they're saying this. So it's a lot of things changing. Just one more thing on it, just because I'm very interested in this. Your clients in general, like you said, it's an 8 week program, I believe you said. And how much is this actually going to help? If everything, I mean, we might be reopening, it seems right now. I mean, is that going to be something that is going to keep a lot of these businesses alive? Would that have been something where you think a lot of those businesses would have struggled if they didn't have that, let's call it, bridge between the beginning of the virus and when things do actually start to open?
A lot of my clients, and this is going to be a two-part answer. So a lot of my clients, do I think they're survived? Absolutely. Again, these are more mature companies. Some of them are emerging into middle market, meaning they've had a growth spurt over the past 2 to 3 years to put them where they are today. Having capital structures in place of what I do provide and just managing that for them in terms of how you can, you know, float or cash management, but float it for about, you know, 30, 60, 90 days. Yeah, you may not get your discounts that you want, but you may have to pay a little bit more. But again, I would have to say all of my clients in my portfolio, I can't say in every middle market group is the same, but these guys are pretty savvy. They've been through it. They listen. They have reserves. I sell money for a living, right? And that's good and bad because I also say use what you need. Sure. Now, on the flip side, I have heard, unfortunately, and some of these are dear friends of mine who are more small business. This is their first couple years within business. And I do know one of them, very, very dear friend of mine, he had to fold because the demand, I mean, it. When I say 100% diminished, is like, yeah, turn off the lights. Nobody's coming back until probably 2021. That unfortunate. So it just depends on where that particular company, if they saved for a rainy day, if they went through the financial crisis, what type of credit structures do they have? You know, not saying I'm the best banker in the world, not saying that I'm the worst, but every single person, even get a banker. I don't care if it's a personal banker, if it's a business banker, a middle market banker, get a banker because that's what we do for a living. And yes, there's a lot of information that's given to us, but we're going to be able to guide you and then a lot of times intervene in ways where, you know, if the stimulus wasn't there, I'm sure you've heard of forbearance recently. So a lot of my clients, one in particular, very, very sure about their company, but I had to make sure like, hey, this doesn't look like it's passing within like 2 or 3 weeks like you think. I really think you should consider this forbearance for X, Y, and Z a reason. Preserve your cash. So again, on two parts of the scale, yeah, middle market companies for the most part, I think they'll rebound. When you look at different industries like hospitality, restaurants, retail, that full cycle right there, you know, I don't know. I know. But I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing I'm really interested in is once things are reopened and I'm walking down the street to see, oh, that's too bad. That small restaurant closed down. That it just opened up January 1st and now it's closed. Or kind of who's going to make it through? And like you said, more yours are a little bit more mature. So that makes more sense that they should be fine. But the idea of having somebody to help, I mean, and having a plan in place, I mean, goes line hand in hand in what we do with our clients for different things. As long as you have that plan, you have that flexibility beforehand, it sounds like something that I would say you're definitely not the worst at your job based upon what
So one thing I sort of want to piggyback on that in terms of what it is that you do. So I'm a huge proponent on anything insurance related. And again, you're with Provence, but with that, you do a great deal of insurance. And with some of these emerging companies, man, stuff happens, right? And stuff happens to that principal all the time. Mm-hmm. And with that, one of the things that I really promote is, what's your plan B? You know, and you know, life insurance, it's there was a time when we required key man life insurance when this was upon us. For a lot of my clients who I know who have been a little bit slow to be able to seek out, my big question was, what if you contract this and what if you die? You know, what's next for your families first and foremost, but also for your company, for your bankers, because then we have to go in, we have to do what we have to do. But I think what you do is intricate in terms of what we do as well.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, we look at it much more, I guess, from the personal level, understanding that a big part of the assets or the risk or whatever that is their business. We work with a lot of small business owners. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes, you know, something bad happening in somebody's life to really look at those things. I'm sure you see the same things when these small business owners are running their business. That's what they do. They don't have time to, you know, make sure that they have their plans for the weekend or make sure their insurance is in line or whatever the case is. So unfortunately, I mean, this is a crazy situation, but I think a lot of people did see the risks of going month to month in terms of business, you know, barely making a profit, and that if something did happen like this, or even more catastrophic, like you said, if life insurance would actually come into play, I think it definitely opened up people's eyes to more risks out there. And it's not just the economy is just going to keep on going and everything will be just fine.
Yeah.
So lastly, and I've mentioned it a little bit, but we met through Leadership Miami and it was highly, highly recommended to me. I thought I knew what to expect. It's been totally different. Part of this whole coronavirus has kind of thrown a wrench in some of it, but I know for myself, it's been an incredible experience so far. Not only meeting you, the rest of our team, the rest of our whole class, But just talk a little bit about Leadership Miami. I mean, you're very plugged into the community, and that's just another way you're plugged into the community.
Wow, Leadership Miami, for a lot of us, I was very interested in doing it, and I think it's a phenomenal program. But timing gets to us all. During that time, I tried to defer it for another year. Everything happens for a reason. I'm in LM41, and the stars align. We're on the same team. But that experience, and sort of to relate to it today, was a lot of times it's easier to, I don't want to say take a back seat. We all, especially us 15, we have very, very strong leadership skills. But we were creating something out of nothing. We didn't really know what to expect from each other. We didn't know what obstacles were going to arise and when they would arise. And again, we're creating a legacy, in a sense, for not-for-profit in the community, and it's going to have our stamp on it. Now, the number one thing is, it's like, well, how do you motivate us? Like, you have to have a want to do it, but, you know, a lot of people are motivated by incentive, you know, their jobs, you know, a little stipend here or something. So where we are today with Leadership Miami and what it's done, it's helped a lot. It's helped me in terms of vocalizing a lot more. I come from the banking, you know, behind the scenes. There are sometimes a little more serious conversations than there are with the rest. But it's kept me a lot more level, because how can I say, hey, Shane, you need to do X, Y, and Z? And you can say, Craig, you're not my boss, buddy. Like, what's going on? So, you know, but also not necessarily having the mindset a lot of times as being as competitive. I have to admit, it's known to me in the industry. I'm very competitive. I don't know if you followed the Last Dance. I'm not Michael Jordan, but I have that competitive nature.
Sure.
And the gentleman who sponsored me in doing this, you know, that's what he's been telling me. Dwight Hill, I don't mind saying his name, as well as a very strong, another community leader. They were like, well, what are you doing in the community? You can be great at banking and shake a lot of hands, but what are you doing to really give back? And with this, wow, talking about giving back or just doing something that will affect not one, two people, but 14, but also, you know, the additional residents that will be coming to a Casa Valentino. And one of the most important things is I just met 15 more great people, including one who's not with us anymore, but still 15 great people. And I'm doing this with you today. So it's been good.
No, I think you said it best. I think we're all leaders. That's why we were chosen for the program per se. But when you have 15 people that think they are the leaders working together, I think that was very interesting as a group. And it's been a great experience, and obviously meeting you has been great. But really appreciate you being on Relatable Finance today. It was great getting some of that insight, and we will hopefully be seeing each other soon. If not, we'll be talking on Zoom.
Looking forward to it.
All
keep
right.
Your mask 6 feet apart.
That sounds good. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.